Hey everyone, Stuart here. Before we start this comeback episode of Irish Ears, I just want to quickly take a moment to thank Megan for her work on the podcast. Some of you will know the Disney company took action in February to remove references to LGBTQ+ and their commitment to DEI. Megan has been a campaigner on these issues for as long as I've known her, and this was a step too far for her. She can no longer support the company and respectfully withdrew from hosting the Irish Ears podcast. These issues are extremely important red line issues for Megan, and I have immense respect for her for standing up for what she believes in. If you'd like to support Megan or find out more, please follow her at MissMegan91 across the socials. Megan obviously remains a great friend of mine and someone who has inspired my social media journey. So once again, thank you, Megan. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of Irish Ears, a Disney Fancast. We've got a packed episode full of Disney news and basically the last 6 months to catch up on. First up, I'd like to welcome back Aisling to the podcast. You all know Aisling from her social media at Happy Ever Aisling, including Instagram, TikTok, and her fantastic YouTube vlogs. Welcome back, Aisling, who I'm hoping will kind of co-host the podcast going forward. That's okay with you?
Yep, that's okay with me.
Super. How's things, Aisling? How have you been?
I'm a busy girl. Good. I've been very busy. I ticked off my first US park since we last talked on the podcast, and now I'm obsessed with Disney California, and I have booked Florida for next January, so all the Disney trips are happening. And of course I've been back to Disney Paris since we last chatted as well.
You have. And what I want to do is I want to have a little agenda here, and I want to talk about some certain things. But to that end, and as you were talking about your American trips, we actually have a token American on the line also. Taylor Murphy from the West Coast.
Howdy, Gavin.
I mean, the West Coast of Ireland. Taylor, welcome to the pod. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
For those of you who don't know Taylor has a fantastic TikTok where she goes through most of your hauls recently, and they're mildly kind of obsessive to watch. You know, you can't take your eye away from the hauls because you just want, what did you buy next? For those listening, Taylor is a huge pin expert, and we'll come back onto that point later on in the podcast. So the first thing we're going to talk about is, you might have heard of this little group trip that happened over Paddy's Day. It's kind of world changing, not to blow it up too much, but we all had a great time. If you haven't heard of it, this is the second group trip that I've arranged. I say arranged, it's more like organized chaos. So the structure of the whole thing was that most of us went over on the 16th of March. Then we had Paddy's Day and we came home on the 18th. So for Aisling and Taylor, it was your first time on the group trip. A lot of people came from the first group trip to the second group trip, which is great because I felt like we were kind of building something. So Aisling, what are your thoughts on, it was your first ever group trip of any type, was it? Disney or otherwise?
Yeah. I had the best weekend. It was so nice getting to spend so much time with everyone. And I will say, for anyone who's thinking of coming next year, which, because I know people have said to me that they're worried in case, like, you know, of everyone kind of including them and everything because they weren't part of previous ones, don't worry, because I wasn't there last year and everyone just like included me in and welcomed me in, and I was going solo as well. So I know some people even that came on the group trip might have came with friends and stuff, so it was easy for them to break out, but I just kind of like molded and went with the flow and just went with anyone for like whatever rides and things people were doing. And it was so much fun. It was the best time.
Yeah, what I will say is that, like, because we have half the people who went on group trip number one came on number two, they've all been like briefed on being very open and making new friends and, you know, kind of opening their arms in a Disney sort of way to make sure that's not just kind of clicky, because that's something that I just wouldn't have on the group trip really. So they were all briefed and it's kind of natural to them. They're all sound like, they're a lot onto themselves, those group trippers from number one. So now it's just grown into group trip number two. Taylor and yourself, like, you guys, I suppose Aisling knew me more from just knowing each other for the last few years. Taylor, you're brand new to this. Like, what did you expect going into the group trip and how was it for you?
I wasn't totally sure walking into it because, like Aisling, this was my first ever group trip. Normally, I just go with family or like my partner. So this was definitely a first, and I couldn't recommend it more. made some amazing friends along the way, and I'm looking forward to the next one that you organize. So,
just to be clear, this is not a sales pitch. Like, we don't need. I'm not looking for like 200 people to go on the next one. And like, I haven't actually announced if there's going to be a next one or not, just to be sure, just to be confirming this. I need to work out what's next March going to look like. And it's just great crack. Like, it's not really any benefit to me as like inside of my social media and stuff like that. It's just great crack. And I just love, like, we had some people on the group chip that was their first time in Disneyland Paris. And you would never really know that because they all kind of got mingled in with the experts and the regulars and not the locals. Well, yeah, we had some locals too. But yeah, like, I think the highlight for me was, I suppose, the joining of the parade. That's going to be something that's going to go with me till my deathbed, really. It was just so unhinged.
It was crazy. I really hope that Disney Paris seen that and seen, oh, we better do actually something for St. Patrick's Day in Disney Paris next year, because there were so many Irish, like, even just not in our group, just everywhere there was Irish flags, and like, you could just see green everywhere. I think, you know, we definitely did show up and show out, I think, definitely, especially for the parade, and everyone that wasn't on the group trip just joined in too, that was along the sides. I think it was really good.
Like, I think if we got, I was like motioning for people to join us, but they're all kind of nervous, like, can we, are we in trouble, like, why are we going to get kicked out of the parade, like, kicked out of the parks? But I think if it happens next year, again, nothing in stone yet, but if it happens next year, I think people will be more confident in joining in, and hopefully, because I saw the whites of the security man's eyes when he was looking at me going like, oh my god, I have a horde of Irish people coming towards me here. What are we doing? Is this like health and safety going to kick in here? Luckily, he got the go ahead from his guest flow cast member. So, shout out to guest flow and security on Paddy's Day, because they could have shut it down for us and totally killed the buzz, but they didn't. And then, yeah, it was just great crack. Like, one highlight for me also, I know it's kind of simple, but we went double true on pirates. Taylor, that was your good doing.
My little wink to the cast member there.
Yeah, we were all squished into the front of the boat on pirates, and we couldn't really get out. So the cast member said to us, do you want to go again? And we were like, thank you for the sympathy. Good crack. Yeah, I think Paddy's Day works because it's uniquely Irish, and it's just like, I don't know, I don't hugely enjoy Paddy's Day in Ireland, which is a shame, because like, I'm from Dublin and I don't really go into the parade. I know people come from all over the world for the parade, but like, I think Disneyland Paris for Paddy's Day is a unique opportunity to kind of go international with our love for Disney and show people that we can have the crack and it can be kind of Disney. And yeah, if Disney are listening to this, which I know some people who get paid by the mouse do listen to this, please, yeah, do what you can. Make phone calls or send those Slack messages to get something sorted for next year. Because, I mean, not too long ago, we had Mickey and Minnie in their Irish outfits. We had a pre-firework show before the main fireworks, which was Irish themed, and like, we're not looking for special treatment, but I think we're pretty special that we should get special treatment. Yeah, so we'll leave it at that. Thank you both for coming on the group chip, because it was both your first time and you both really leaned into what it was meant to be all about. And yeah, next time we'll do better somehow. So on this group chip, Yes. On this group chip, it was both, Aisling, it wasn't your exact first time, but it was one of your first times experiencing Tales of Magic from, I know it was your first time from Main Street, was it?
Yeah.
So tell me, you weren't spoiler free, because if you hadn't heard, Aisling weren't on a Castle Club stay and watched Tales of Magic from her Castle Club room.
I was very, went from I went from literally always staying the cheapest hotel I could get to going for the most expensive room for one night and one night only. That was as far as the Castle Club budget stretched. But yeah, we watched it from our room and it was amazing. It was like once in a lifetime, definitely get and see it because we got a surprise Castle Club room, which I think we're going to talk about later on. But yeah, it was really good. We were able to hear the music. It was very good. But I did love watching it from Main Street and I have recommended people to watch from Main Street instead, even though I haven't seen it from the castle. I think definitely being able to see all the projections the whole way up Main Street, I think just makes it a completely different firework experience to if you've ever been to Disneyland Paris before and have watched other firework shows. I think like the projections add so much more to it, so definitely stand on Main Street right in the middle beside Marquise Sully.
And Taylor, you were completely spoiler free going into this experience entirely, and you had probably just come from Happy Ever After like not too long ago, so tell us what was your thoughts?
I was blown away and I was so proud of myself for skipping all the spoilers. Like anytime I would see it come up on any of the social media platforms, I'd be like, nope, and skip through. So yeah, went into it completely spoiler free. And I know you were kind of standing back behind me and I know I looked back at you a couple of times, just absolutely jaw dropped in awe of what was going on in front of me and on the sides of me and everywhere you could possibly look. So
I actually loved that because I knew I was coming. Obviously every single beat of the fireworks show, like I know what's going to happen. And knowing that it was your first time, do you ever get that feeling when you show someone something that you really enjoy and you're kind of like, see? And it's like, if they don't enjoy it, you're kind of going, oh, you're not my kind of person. But you did enjoy it. And I remember the, the Beauty and the Beast scene when it was snowing. I actually got someone else. I think it might have been Bernie or someone. I was like, tell Taylor it's snowing. Because I knew that you'd be all about it. And I knew that it wasn't going to just be like, you know, a damn squib for you. I It was great. Like, that's my second time watching it from Main Street. I've also watched it from, like, the paid area in the front of the castle. And I've watched it from the priority area, which is basically just a little bit to the left of the paid area. And, yeah, I think that the, like, if I was a foot taller, there would be no reason why you wouldn't go to Main Street for Tales of Magic. I think, we had, like, the kids on the shoulders thing is a very hot topic, and I can see both sides that kids are only a certain age for a certain, you know, only once, and they want to enjoy this type of thing. I think there has to be a way of letting them see without kind of spoiling the like 15 people behind you in a row straight back.
What I did when I went with my cousins, we put them on our back. So if you don't put the kids on your shoulder, if you put them on your back, they're like at the same face height as you, and so they can see like what you can see. And I know shoulders, obviously they're going to get a better view being able to see completely over everyone, but if you're a person who likes thinking about the other people that's around you, maybe go for the on your back instead of on your shoulder, so their head can like sit on your shoulder and they can still see.
Now I will say 25 minutes on your back is way worse than 25 minutes on your shoulders. But they also have these, have you seen these contraptions you can get? It went viral recently that the kids kind of your back. Yeah.
Yeah. I seen them until like holds their weight.
They're like, they're like a horse for the kid. What I tend to do is, so like we always have a buggy and I put kid one or kid two standing in the buggy. So again, they are just head high with me. They're not higher than anybody else would be. And they can see kind of just fine. Hand on heart, I've never put my kid on shoulders for the fireworks. Now, I have put my kid on shoulders to like move around faster because just little legs don't walk that fast. But yeah, anyway, this was not a rant about the kids on shoulders. I think that Tales of Magic is growing kind of more and more on me. I think it's something that we should be proud of in Disneyland Paris. I do think parts of the drone experience went the wrong direction from Sky Parade. Like, you know, Sky Parade, we had pyro drones and we had smoke drones. And I know a certain someone is working on water drones for the lake show next year. So, I mean, Tales of Magic had to be just the Castle Park nighttime show as bulletproof they could make it, you know, so that most people get the full experience every night. So yeah, like, everyone's enjoying it. The feedback I get from almost definitely first timers and what I would say like our kind of casual family trips, people are blown away by Tales of Magic. And that was the brief. And it's like, it's impressed Disney lovers and it's impressed families who aren't going to go that often. So fair play to everyone involved.
That's what I said with the, when I was like taking the stuff to say about it, was I really loved it. And I think it filled the void of something original from Disneyland Paris, from Dream and Shine Brighter. Million Splash of Color just didn't do that for me. So I feel like I was still in the Dream and Shine Brighter like hole. And I think it definitely did give like that DLP original. But I do think that they compromise on the fireworks with the drones. And they did, there's like not as much, I don't know. I said that I thought that the finale needed more like oomph to end it. I think it's just kind of like a flat at the very end. But the Circle of Life ending like has more like oomph to it than the actual ending of the fireworks show. But like, I still really enjoyed it and loved it. But they were just the two things. I definitely think that the drones could have had more, like you said, like the pyrotechnics. But I definitely think that they were like, okay, we put money into drones, we can just let go of some of the money that we spent on fireworks and, you know, do a few less fireworks instead.
Yeah, we've watched people leave after the Lion King section. That was wild. Like, because I read online that people felt that was the end, and I didn't think that people actually felt it was the end. Like, and we're going to leave the parks, because there was a stream of people leaving. It was like 75 minutes into a match, you know. It was just like, what, where are you going, lads? What else was I going to say about Tales of Magic? I absolutely lost my train of thought there. But yes, sorry, you were talking about Splash of Colour and Dream and Shine Brighter, and it's funny because I think people have a huge connection to kind of the shows that get implemented for the first time while they're in their kind of super fan era, you know. So like, a lot of people came to Disneyland Paris for the first time and got obsessed during post-COVID, and that was Dream and Shine Brighter. And then a few people, it took them another year or two because social media went bananas after COVID for, you know, Dream and Shine Brighter, and they were like, right, I'm gonna organize a trip for next year. And they all got hooked on Splash of the Colour. And there are lots of Splash of the Colour stands, you know, like a lot of them. And I can see why, because it's literally better than nothing that we have these days. but who knows? Music Festival is going to blow us all out of the water, because I just want, like, Taylor, talk to me about, like, American marching bands down Main Street towards the castle.
So, marching bands, I have a true draw for marching bands. Like, it's just something that you grow up with in every single parade, any reason that we can have a marching band on the road, it's there. So, there's quite a few theme parks over in the States that definitely pull in marching bands throughout the years, and it just... I don't know, you just end up standing, you know, watching them and like just dancing to the music. And it's just such a vibe. Like, I really enjoy it. So I'm really looking forward to what DLP bring in.
It'll be really interesting because it's a uniquely American thing. Like, I remember I haven't been to Walt Disney World or Disneyland California in, 10 years, over more than 10 years. So the marching band and the kind of street atmosphere is a uniquely American thing, and I hope that Disneyland Paris is always cutting a fine line between, like, there was all this controversy when it was created that they didn't want to import Americana to Paris. Do you know, there was an awful lot of fighting going on.
Signs that We don't want the American rat to come.
Yeah, like wild, wild. But sure, we're not living in very calm days these days either. So, yeah. And funnily enough, for Irish people, for sure, we actually kind of go to Disneyland Paris looking for that bit of America. Just don't tell the French. So it's always a fine line. You're always juggling between, right, a Paris, a Parisian French spin on Disney parks, or do you want just full on Americana? Because we often get the best of both, but then we sometimes get the worst of both. So hopefully Minnie's Marching Band, which is, by the way, there's like 12 other activations going on around the park during Disney Music Festival. Like, I can't even list them all off the top of my head. Rapunzel is down there, Miguel, I think Mirabelle is involved. Goofy with an imaginary orchestra in front of the castle. He'd be doing the fountains. There is DJ Stitch, isn't it, in Discoveryland? Like, it's going to be wild. And I hope that they work out some way of crowd control situation being good, because I know these kind of semi-casual activations have been chaos over the years in Disneyland Paris. Because, like, for example, Mother Gothel there last year around Halloween, there was no like tiering of the people. So if you had the first row 6 foot adults, that was it. Like, nobody else could see. So yeah, I think hopefully Mother Gothel and other things around the park have learned their lessons on how to provide a fantastic guest experience. We'll move on then. Speaking of, this is just an American episode, to be honest with you. It's what is it called, Taylor, today? Liberation Day in America. We won't mention the Orange Man, but Aisling, your California trip. Like, I've watched all the vlogs. I felt I was there with you. I especially love the, you know, those that trend of like not putting the trending music. Like, your vlogs do that in long form. Like, I love hearing the ASMR of the parks. So tell us, like, about your California trip first. Like, why did you want to go to California? I mean, no why, but just talk about it and so we can fill the podcast. And if you can say, like, what was your favorite part and what's your thoughts after the trip?
Well, I am very much obsessed with Disneyland California now. Going into it, I knew, obviously, I was going to absolutely love like Disneyland, like the actual park. And I've always said, like, I've been watching Disney Parks vlogs since like I was 12, like since, you know, the start of YouTube and Disney vlogs came out. Like, I've been watching for ages. And but like, even my whole life, I've always said that the Disney, like, US park that I want to go to first is Disneyland California. It's Walt's original park. Like, he was there. It was all like his thinking that went into it, even though he did help with Walt Disney World, like, he didn't really get to see it. But to, and it was just such a special feeling, like, when you're actually in the park. it was just amazing. But I didn't expect to love DCA as much as I did. Like, I think I actually just, like, if we could just pick up DCA and plank it down on top of the studios, I'd be happy with getting rid of Walt Disney Studios as it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, we still have Avengers Campus, and that looks like a kind of the same, like, it has the same like web slingers and stuff. But I just love DCA so much, like Pixar Pier. I think it really feels like California. And on this trip, all we did was literally just go to Disneyland. We didn't go to anywhere else outside California, because in the future we're thinking of doing like a California road trip. So we just said we'd literally just go over for Disney and then come back. And we were going to do Universal while we were there, but then the fires were at the same time and Universal was closed. So good thing we didn't actually book that. But I feel like I would happily now, like, with Disneyland Paris as it is, walls and all, like, if I did, say, next year, if I could only go to, like, Disney twice in the year, I would do, like, a 5-day trip to California and, like, just, like, a day trip to Disneyland Paris, and I'd be happy with, like, my Disney fix if I did, like, longer California. We did 3 days, and if you are thinking of going to California, we did 3 days with MultiPass and got everything done in 2 days. Like, we literally did, like, 50 rides within the 3 days, and the longest wait we had was 10 minutes. So I definitely recommend Multipass. And because it's such a locals park is what people call it, they don't buy Multipass. So there's always slots. Whereas now, because I'm looking into Walt Disney World, Multipass is more expensive per day. And by like 11 o'clock in the morning, from all like the vibes I'm getting, like most of the big rides are fully gone. And even like the smaller rides might be gone until like the nighttime. Whereas in California, literally, apart from say like Guardians, like some other ones, most of the ride times were like immediately. So you could kind of like, you scanned into your ride and got a ride for the same hour that you're already in to go to the next ride. So Multipass just worked really well. If we had it in Disney Paris, I think it would be good. I think it would be very chaotic and people wouldn't know how to use it, but it would be good for those who like put the effort in to learn how to use it. I just think it was really good and it just makes a lot more sense than just the like 190 or whatever it is per person Premier Access that we have going on. But I definitely, like, there was a lot of differences. Obviously, like the food and stuff was a lot better in California. And I think definitely the vibes in California is better. I don't even know how to describe it. I think it's just kind of like one of those things that like everyone is having fun. I think with Disneyland Paris, a lot of the time, like Irish families, UK families see it as like a tick of the list holiday, that it's just, oh, well, we have to take the kids to Disneyland Paris. So, and when they're on the holiday, it's just, we focusing on the kids. Whereas even though obviously it's the locals park, so there was people there that are going all the time with their kids. But I think like the general feel of even people who you could tell kind of were on holidays and it was like a big groups of families and stuff, they were all having just as much fun as the kids. And that was so nice to see in comparison to Disney Paris, when parents sometimes are just like shoving their kids towards characters, whereas like the whole family was all kind of like joining in on everything. I think, I don't know, it just made it so nice. But I will say Disneyland Paris did beat them in some of the rides. I didn't think Pirates was as good. Apologies to the original Pirates. It was like backwards. So instead of going up, you go down at the start. Yeah, and then like the skeletons were all at the start. And it just like lagged. And then it was like the big scene. So we have like the big pirate scenes. But then it said it was just like the skeletons and just like went on for ages and ages. Whereas like our little like skeleton pieces and the like Jack Sparrow at the end, I feel like it's like a nice lull after going through everything and then you can like talk about the ride. Whereas it was kind of the opposite. So you're just sitting there like this, like for a really long time in Pirates. And then there wasn't as many drops and stuff. But then favorite rides, Incredicoaster has taken my number one spot for roller coasters like ever, out of any theme park I've ever been to. It's so fun and it's so smooth and it's amazing at night time and it's like great during the day. That was definitely just like, that was just taking my number one roller coaster spot. It's like no headaches, no nothing. Very, very smooth. It's very good. And then Radiator Racers and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway were my two other favourites from each park. Yeah, I just loved it. And World of Colour, I have to give a shout out to, because I was a mess the first time I seen it. I was bawling my eyes out, crying. I couldn't even form a sentence. If anyone watched the vlog, I was just, had to fully cut the cameras because the Moana section just like sent me over the edge. But it was amazing. So I'm very excited for the Studios Lake show now because I really like that.
World of Colour in your vlog sent me over the edge and I was only watching it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Well, like, I hope that the powers that be, like, it's a recent addition, is it? World of Colour to Pixar Pier?
It used to be like World of Colour and now this one, my one was like World of Colour 1. And then I think they're doing another World of Colour 70th celebration edition for during the summer. So I think it's kind of like the base shows World of Colour and then they switch up every so often, was the vibes that I kind of got from it. But it was
they
so
just
good.
Really, like, the Americans really just, with their shows, kind of extract the tears from you.
Yeah.
Like squeezing a lemon, you know?
Yeah.
Taylor, I could see you were getting quite animated there when Ashley was talking about the Fast Pass system in Florida. Press play.
Yeah, the Fast Pass system in America, well, let me get this straight. Walt Disney World. It's kind of difficult to use. And again, for anybody coming over from the UK and Ireland, we're at a little bit of a disadvantage because say your first day in the parks is like the day after you land. You can only start booking once you're in the country for like your fast passes. So if you're staying on site, I think it's 7 days ahead of time that you can actually start like booking your fast passes that you want for each day that you're going to be there. And then if you're off site, I believe it's 3 days. All the good rides are pretty much gone, as Aisling was saying. Like you're kind of left with rides that wouldn't really build up a queue at all during the day. So I mean, we kind of go into the park, and if it's really busy, then we may splash out and end up buying, but we kind of go off peak, so it's not too bad.
So if you're not a Disney expert and you're not a Disney like adult, that was not like part of your life, and you just want to casually go over to Walt Disney World, and you're not like a military mom or dad who has like, I mean that not in the actual like people fighting with guns. I mean that like, you know, some parents are just like all about it and they're like, this holiday is 7 o'clock, we get up, 8 o'clock, we do this. Like if you just want to just shoot the breeze, you're just left with Small World all day.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, you can definitely go into the parks and have a killer time with just kind of relaxing and taking it as you go. But, you know, for those that are hardcore and everything, you can get a lot done with the fast passes and, you know, depending on the time of year without. So you just have to kind of do your research. And like, I would say if you are planning on booking a Walt Disney World trip, like you should be putting in a little bit of research behind it, because typically you wouldn't be just going for a week coming from Ireland or the UK or anywhere else in Europe. Like you really want to do the parks for a couple of days because they are huge. So like when we go, we try to do each park at least 2 days. So
that's what I'm kind of trying to plan for January. I've already been, and like, this is 10 months out. And this is why I know that I will have a good time and I know I'll enjoy it and love it, but I just don't think that it's going to be as magical. And people say that about Disneyland Paris. I'm actually in the middle of editing a video of why we shouldn't compare Disneyland Paris to Walt Disney World. I was editing it for like 2 hours today, but I just don't think that I'm going to enjoy it as much as I did California or even just like a normal trip to Disneyland Paris, because I think it's just such a beast. Like we have 14 days and say like, basically 12 days and 2 half days with flying in and out. So you've 12 park days to do not only Walt Disney World, but we have the combo ticket for Universal and Epic Universe as well. So to get everything done and be able to have more than a day in one park is literally just like fully jam packed. Which, and like full go for 2 weeks. And I am very much an easy breezy Disneyland Paris, enjoy the vibes. I will just sit and people watch, and you know, that's me having a good time. But, and especially with, and I'm sure like other people listening are the same, like I am the Disney person. Ben did not have to touch his phone once in California, and somehow he just magically got on every single ride with less than a 10 minute wait and just got to show up and have a good time.
It's like the Disney version of a passenger princess.
Literally, that's exactly what she is. She's a passenger princess for the entire trip. I booked everything, planned everything on the day I was on my phone, like just doing everything. But I feel like then even with Disney World, like I'm 10 months out and I'm already trying to plan, like, and on Tuesday we'll do this and then we will take a break at this hotel so that we can go and see it and then go back to the park. And like, it's so crazy that level of planning goes into it. So I think definitely Disneyland Paris is just so much more accessible and easier, especially phone wise. I think that's a big complaint what a lot of people have, is that they don't want to spend their whole holiday on their phone. And with Walt Disney World, you just kind of have to do it. With California, if you didn't get multi-pass, you don't really need to be on your phone at all, except for get the virtual queue. I didn't say that, but get the virtual queue at 12 o'clock for World of Colour, because it gets you into like the priority area. And if there's no wind standing at the front, even though it says wet zone, because then the water won't blow on you. We were there for the two nights and the water didn't blow on us at all, but apparently you do get wet if the wind's blowing. But that's literally the only thing. But in Walt Disney World, for like, I feel like a lot, and mobile ordering to be able to skip queues, whereas the queues weren't that bad in California for the food. We did mobile order for, I think, the quesadillas, because they were like one of the most popular things. But like, apart from that, everything else was pretty much just like a normal little queue that you'd stand in kind of anywhere in the world. But yeah, I think being on your phone is definitely, if you want to go to Disney and not be on your phone, I think Disney Paris is probably the best option out of like everyone, except for just checking for wait times and stuff. But yeah, I think definitely Walt Disney World is just a completely different beast altogether.
I can definitely agree with that. But I do have to say, the more that we've gone now, the more easy it's gotten. And we can kind of just like take that time. Like when we went in February, we were only there for a week. And we just kind of went with the breeze. And, you know, it was nice because we did some resort hopping, which we had never done before. But we just took the time. We didn't even do full park days. Like, you know, we went over because we're APs at the other place, Universal. Yeah, I didn't say that out loud. But
Taylor,
we ended up
chat.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Irish,
but we did.
Ears.
We ended up
ears.
Actually spending. I know. I'm sorry. We ended up spending actually more time on Disney property than we did at the other park, even though our intention was to do the other. But yeah, like I think the more you go to Walt Disney World, it kind of gets easier where you can just kind of go with the flow because you don't feel like you have to do it all, you know?
I think it's so interesting because when I'm advising families on their like, they're like, oh, any tips? And I'm like, just chill out. Just like, you know, because you like, people see even Disneyland Paris. And I think Disneyland Paris is like, I think you have much better time if you're just more chilled about things. Like if you go there with, even with loads of kids and like, you know, 20 kids. No, don't have 20 kids. It'll ruin your life. If you go and you're like, oh, we have to do this. I want to be over here this time and this blah, 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 blah. You're just going to hate it. You're just going to like not enjoy it and come home wrecked. Whereas like one of my favorite things about the group trip was that I spent like 2 hours in Market House Deli having a cup of tea on the 18th, just like watching people go past. I know I'm there every month and it's like not a fair comparison. But you can really destroy the vibe no matter what the park you're going to. Like that's one thing I think Instagram, I know, if they're listening, Instagram has ruined for Disney park holidays. Is that people want that memory recorded. They want that picture taken in front of Spaceship Earth, or they want, you know, when Tinkerbell is flying, they want that moment or whatever. Whereas, like, if you just enjoy your day, I know, but it's so much money, Walt Disney World, like it's so much money. Like, and that's even like, I'm looking at two of you guys, you're like, you know, couples going over there. Like you try and get a family of four or a family of six, and like I think a family of four, like 15 grand would be a reasonable all in. That's like,
yeah,
extension on the house, like mental.
Yeah,
I can't even extend the house. I'm still weighing up like that, like. But I think Disneyland Paris, I obviously get this in Facebook groups and whatever, and people come on, they're like, you know, you get it on TikTok, guys, because whenever you talk about Disneyland Paris, people can't but come in and say, oh, for like whatever, like you spent, I'm sure, a bit of money in Castle Club, and I'm sure people come in and go like, oh, for that money you'd stay in the Grand Floridian and all this, you know, and it's kind of like, some parts of Disneyland Paris are actually better than the other parks. Do you know? That's okay.
Yeah. a lot of people, I've had a lot of people like commenting on mine, or then like I see other videos, like I just seen it. The reason I was making that video of like why you can't compare the two, even though I haven't been there, was because I've seen so many videos recently on people on TikTok of being like talking to how like Paris didn't have any magic, or it's like not a real Disney park, like it's not the real Disney. And I've even seen people commenting, and someone like even commented on one of my videos, and we're like, yeah, but we went to Walt Disney World for cheaper than we did for, like, when we priced them up than to go to Disneyland Paris. And I'm just like, how? Like, literally, how? Because me and Ben already, so we haven't booked our flights around, and still getting our Revolut points saved up before we booked them. but we've booked an off-site apartment and the 14-day combo ticket, and just those two things and like staying off-site is already more than the two of us to go to California. And that's the two things without, obviously we'll need like a hire car if we're going to do off-site. We might switch to on-site depending on like the dining plans and stuff if they come out, but literally for the two of them it's over 4,000, and our whole California trip for the two of us was like 1,200 each for flights, hotel and tickets with multipass. And that's just tickets and somewhere to stay with no food or like anything, flights, rental car for getting around. I don't know how people can compare the two and say that it's cheaper to go to Walt Disney World, because even if you do get a really good deal on an offsite place, or there's more of you to split it between, you're still going to be there for a much longer time. So even like spending money for just food, even if you're eating at the cheapest places or eating offsite or staying in a villa and buying grocery shopping, like it's everything, because you're there for longer, is going to be more expensive than going to Disneyland Paris. Like we've done very cheap Disneyland Paris trips. Like I've done, obviously I'm not saying to go over and back in the one day like I've done, but even like staying one night in the Adagio and getting like 80 euro return flights with Vueling or Transavia or something, like that, like you just can't say that you're able to get Walt Disney World cheaper than Disneyland Paris as a general statement. I'm sure you could sometimes, or maybe if you go, you're like Taylor and you go a lot, then maybe you might be able to go to Walt Disney World cheaper than Disneyland Paris for 3 days or something. But even if you're buying tickets singly for each park, they're all like $150 each. Whereas like the big package, I think was $1,500 for Universal and Walt Disney World together, I think, for like each. So like even that, and that was 1,000 for Irish Ears exclusive. What I paid for Castle Club was $1,500 for the night, which is crazy. But like that's the most expensive Disneyland Paris hotel for the night, and that's the same price as your tickets for Walt Disney World for a general 2 week holiday, which is what most people would do if they're going to Florida. So yeah, I just don't know how people are getting cheaper Florida trips than Walt Disney World. Maybe California. California was pretty okay in the grand scheme of things, but definitely not Walt Disney World.
I can definitely weigh in on that because I go quite often to Walt Disney World, and it is so much more expensive than nipping over to Paris. And I mean, that's saying like we normally fly Aer Lingus over to, you know, Paris, and we stay on site because right now we aren't annual pass holders at DLP. Hopefully that's changing. I'm saying all the wrong things tonight. But yeah, I do feel that you kind of get more bang for your buck with DLP, even staying on site, because your tickets are included in that. And yeah.
That was one thing that shocked me when I was pricing Walt Disney World and was looking at on site, because I was like, obviously we're going to stay on site. I want to be in the Disney bubble. And the cheapest resort for the 2 weeks was Pop Century. And it was, so it was like the 14 nights. And it was, I think, like $3,800 for the 14 nights for the two of us in the cheapest resort. And then I clicked next. And then it was like, and now add your tickets. And they were like $1,200 or something each. Whereas we went with attraction tickets, big ups attraction tickets. So that was just Disney for an extra $1,200 each. Which is crazy. Then on top of you're nearly 4,000 euro hotel. So yeah, just wild the price. And even I find as well with California, the merch prices, which I know Stuart, you said maybe DLP is going to get a hike up in merch prices soon, which you wanted it to be like the American parks. Now we're getting it. The price difference in just like general things, like t-shirts, like across the board were like $30 or more. Like hoodies were like $60, $70, $80. I think everything was just so much more expensive. I know because California is a locals park, but like there was no like souvenirs. Like I bought fridge magnets for my family and they were $20 each. And I bought three of them because I'm a very good family member and cousin and child. But like in Disneyland Paris, you can literally get fridge magnets for like €6. And there's like a million different options. For in California, it was just one giant fridge magnet for $20 or one small fridge magnet for $20. And like literally just... The food I thought was kind of fine. Like I didn't think the food in California was that expensive, but definitely merch prices are insane. Like even all the ears were like $35 was the standard, whereas in Disneyland Paris, like 23 is kind of like a normal pair of ears, and then 25 might be the fancier ones, and then 30 for like 40, 30 or 40 for like lounge flies. But yeah, it's definitely a big jump for between like Disneyland Paris and US. That's why I don't think you can really compare them.
And don't forget, now, you have to... Sorry, Taylor, go ahead.
There is like a little bit of a hack that we kind of do, and I wouldn't even call it a hack. It's well known. Just for that merch over in the likes of like Walt Disney World, they have the character warehouse. And yeah, it is a number one stop for us when we get over there because
I have that scheduled for the trip.
I picked this hoodie up and it's originally like 70 or 80 in the park. And I think I got it for 35. So like, if you're heading over, go to Character Warehouse. There's two of them on iDrive.
iDrive is basically like Grafton Street. It's like when I went to Walt Disney World twice, I think we stayed in iDrive twice and I felt like everyone was Irish. It's kind of like Stay City in Paris. Everyone is just Irish accents. It's like a little Irish town. But like I was going to say, like, don't forget, like, you have to add your tax onto the prices that you see, and you have to add at least 20% tips to, obviously not quick service, but I wouldn't be surprised if they chase you down for tips and quick service too. I once got chased down in JFK Airport for like Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, it was awful service, and we just paid the bill. And left, and this fella was shouting down the terminal, like, where's my tip? Anywho, I think that's a good roundabout of the parks. Like, I know everyone's looking towards the Asian parks these days because it's just the in thing. I do think that the Asian parks are probably not being fully represented by the Instagram crowd right now. As in, like, I think there are a lot of things that look great on Instagram and then might not translate to having a great holiday and particularly bringing your family.
He's just gone.
Are we gonna reshoot the whole 48 minutes?
I don't think so. It'll probably save. I just text him. He's back.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Great stuff. Well, I think it's still recording, so I assume you guys added like super podcast content while I was gone.
No. Zero.
I was just in the middle of a rant about how the Asian parks looks great on Instagram and YouTube at the moment. And I think I saw one like comment about Tokyo, for example, that there's like zero kids in the park and that the only kids there are working, as in like they're rolled out for the entertainment of adults, which is a bit strange. And like 45 minute queues for popcorn and just stuff that's not my vibe for a Disney park. Now everything looks incredible, you know, so I mean, if anyone wants to send me over to Tokyo, I'll go and try it out, I suppose. But yeah, I just think that, you know, we have a good thing in Paris. I think California has its own good thing. Florida has its own good thing. All the parks have their own good things. And don't be bashing on other parks. Please, thank you, Facebook groups. We're going to move on to the next thing because I don't trust our connection at all at the moment. It's probably my connection. So we did have a little segment to talk about a little movie that came out in the last 2 weeks that I know Ashling's very passionate about.
Yeah, I was definitely trying to be a Rachel Zegler hype woman for the weeks leading up to the Snow White movie while everyone was essentially tearing her and the entire movie to shreds. But I stayed strong and I feel like I was right in my opinion that Rachel did uphold like what was good about the movie, especially. She's just very talented. And I mean, like, she, I think my whole thing was as soon as I heard the soundtrack, I said, oh, they should not have made a movie. They should have just put it straight on Broadway in the West End with Rachel, say, like for a run of a couple of months as Snow White. I think no one would have complained because in Broadway and the West End, nobody complains if people changed ethnicity or gender or anything like that. Everyone is just like, I'm here to see the show. I love the songs. I don't care who's playing each character. And then sometimes you have celebrity cameos, which would have been Rachel playing Snow White on Broadway or the West End, because the songs are just very musical-esque, like very like even like Princess Problems, very like old school musical sounding. But I really, really loved it. I, not to be a Disney blasphemous here, but I didn't like the original at all. I didn't think Snow White really like had it in going for her that made me want to watch it again when I was little. And I was also absolutely terrified of the scary trees and of the hag. I was scared of everything. I still am scared when I go on the ride in Disneyland Paris. So yeah, I don't know. I think this movie definitely for me like went over my likeness of the original, which I feel like isn't good to say. Obviously, as someone like I studied film, and it was a big like a great feat of for film to be the first feature length animated movie. It's very beautifully animated. It just wasn't for me when I was growing up, and still like I don't think I have watched Snow White literally since I was a child. I didn't even watch it before this movie came out. But Rachel Zegler, 10 out of 10. She was very good. I did also like the prince. I did think he was given Flynn Rider. I don't know if that's a negative or positive. Some people have said negative because they were just like kind of keep it for Tangled. But then if they made a Tangled remake, people probably wouldn't be happy with whoever they cast as Flynn either. So I don't know. People are just hard to please. But for the Evil Queen, my opinion on her was that she wasn't evil and she just cared about her diamonds more than she actually cared about being like better than Snow White or Snow White at all. I think like in the original, the only person who had like a big strong personality was the Evil Queen. I think the prince kind of just flounced in and out and Snow White was just kind of there. But I think the Evil Queen had such a strong personality in the old one. I mean, even when she's in the parks, she is so like witty and she's very like on it with the not compliments, like insulting people in a nice way. But in the new one, like, she just kind of totally fell flat. Like, she was just, was not the Evil Queen. She was just a queen who really liked diamonds. And I don't know if any of you have watched Once Upon a Time. It's, if you haven't watched it, I say watch it. I love it. I watched it, like, when it came out every week. It is a bit wild. Once you get past the really awful CGI, the stories are so funny how they just link, like, every Disney character together. Like, there was a love triangle, like, at one point between Aurora, Prince Philip and Mulan, like had a whole love triangle, like it is crazy. But the Evil Queen, Regina, who plays the Evil Queen in that, was like the perfect Evil Queen because she was really scary in like a stern way, in like a I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it kind of way. And I think like if we could just put her into the movie, I think there would have been nothing about Gal Gadot, even though they wouldn't have used the same actress, but like that kind of thing. If you have seen Once Upon a Time, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I think Gal Gadot definitely was a letdown. And then I know a lot of people have said, and I did get it as well, that it was very Descendants-esque, especially with her dances and stuff. And I love Descendants, but that wasn't what I wanted to see in like a big budget Snow White movie. Rachel Zegler, she killed it. And I loved all the little animals. I did tear up when all the animals came out and I showed the cottage because I just tear up at everything, but the animals were just so cute.
I have nothing else to add to that, really.
No, that was like a great overview, Ashling.
Yeah, no one needs to go see the movie now.
I just give you the full rundown.
Yeah.
And I would like to add...
Sorry, go on.
The last thing. Obviously, it would have been amazing if seven people got the roles of the seven dwarfs in the movie. We would have loved to have seen that. But I think with this movie just being called Snow White, I think the focus was supposed to be on Rachel Zegler. And I think with all the backlash, obviously it is such a pity that they did switch then, like when they were mid-film and stuff, which I find it took 3 years to film because obviously everyone kept giving out about all the different changes and stuff. So I'm going to guess that they kept like fully switching because 3 years of just filming, it's like a really long time, I think. Yeah, obviously it would have been nice to see seven actual little people in them roles, I will just add. But I did think Dobby was cute. And it was nice that he like had a little character arc at the end instead of just being like the silly one. But yeah, that was it. That's my full Snow White review.
Did you notice that, I'm not bagging hair, but like her hair changes throughout the movie because they reshot that movie so much? My thinking was that, like, and this is like everyone who's seen my Instagram review will know the same. So like I, like a lot of people, didn't warm to her due to the interviews she did. Do you know that famous one where she goes, and I'll do an impression now. It's, and the original was 1937 and very evidently so. You know, she does that. People can't see the video because this is just an audio podcast, but my teeth were coming out of my face there. I went back and I looked like, oh, how did the other Disney Princess remakes, how did they carry themselves in interviews, etc.? And I was like, all you gotta do, and it sounds terrible because it's not the way princesses should be, like no one's asking you to just sit there and be quiet and be pretty, but just be respectful a little bit. And I think that someone gave her a bad brief or something, that you can just go and over girl boss the whole thing. And that, like, listen, I'm not allowed to talk about this because I'm not a girl, but I will say, to balance this whole argument out, she was by far the best thing about the movie. Like, I didn't hate her after the movie, and I hated her before the movie. I didn't know the girl. Like, I don't even, I just saw these snippets of, like, the only way social media presents you with this click rage bait. And the movie saved her for me, if that makes sense at all. I thought Gal Gadot was awful, and I'm like a big, like, DC Studios comic book fan. And she's great in Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman is this like stiff, you know, personality not meant to really set the world alight with her wit or charm. And like the fact that you can hear Gal Gadot's accent when she sings is awful. Like, was there any coaching at all in this for her? I just think they just said, can we get her? That's a big name. Quick, get her in, you know, and that'll be cool to see her as the Evil Queen. I thought that the Jonathan, like, such a boring name, Jonathan. Like, you know, your mate Jonathan down the road. Like, was that, that wasn't the original prince. It was Florian, wasn't it?
It was Florian.
Like, such a boring name. It's like Brendan, the Irish version of Brendan. You know, it's like Jonathan. Like, even Stuart would be a terrible name. What else? I thought the dwarves were great. I actually, when I was watching the movie, I didn't... It wasn't going through my mind that they were fully CGI, and I didn't see any problem with any topic to do with ethnicity or race or color of people's skin and stuff. I didn't see any. Like, she was she's a great Snow White. I thought the Huntsman was a great Huntsman. I think they changed the color of skin on that too, and no one cares. Yeah, I thought the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, right, just put your fingers in your ear for the next 30 seconds. But Snow White basically just talks her down. I thought it was very weak, that point, at the end. Okay, you can come back now. Spoilers over. So yeah, like, I enjoyed it. I said yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, if they put that on Disney Plus, like, really, really quickly, it would blow up Disney Plus. Like, my kids love it. My niece loves it. Like, and they're giving like 10 out of 10. They want to go see it again in the movies. I'm not paying €37 again for that. But like, that's just for two people. But But like Disney Plus, you know, Baby Moana was like the biggest Disney Plus movie like the last 3 years in a row, the original Moana. So if they just put Snow White on Disney Plus, like, I don't know, by the end of April, I think it would just blow up Disney Plus and it would be a big win for them.
Yeah, Taylor, I definitely
do you have any thoughts? Sorry, Ashley.
Oh, I was just going to say, on like I seen people making videos and they were saying on Rotten Tomatoes or it has like, it's like a the lowest ever movie rated. Genuinely, the people who are rating that movie on any kind of website like that are people who would have never watched it if there wasn't controversy and actually haven't gone to see it after, because there's just no way that that is the worst movie. Like, it's intended for people who like the original story, people who like princesses or fairy tales. Some 50-year-old man who seen the controversy online and jumped in with it, who only watches action movies and doesn't care about princesses, but just jumps in on it to give it a bad rating. I think that's why it's getting like as bad ratings as it has gotten even after it, because there's been so many people who've said that, like you, Stuart, that went into it being like, this girl just trash-talking Snow White and now getting to be a Disney princess and she doesn't even care about it, and then coming out of it being like, oh, actually, it was good. It wasn't even like awful to sit through, or wasn't even just okay. Like, a lot of people have come out of it liking it. I think if they did put it on Disney Plus, like, loads of people would watch it just because they're already paying for it, and then it would change like other people's opinions. I don't think it would be that it's actually like only a one-star movie, you know, which I did see a post today that said it did like make a loss in the box office. But I mean, there was lots of people in my cinema watching it when we were there. There was like a good few, a lot more than, because we go to the cinema all the time, and there was a lot more than there has been for like other movies that has come out on release day. So I will give it that.
I didn't go on release day, but I went about a week later. And like, there was only one other couple in the cinema, unfortunately. And I hated that for the film because I thought it was quite good. Just like Stuart was saying, I'm hoping that they drop it on Disney Plus and don't kind of drag the feet on that, kind of like what they did with Wish. I think that it would do amazing on Disney Plus, you know.
Funny how you mentioned Wish. I was going to say it when Ashton was talking there. Like, I don't know how you can, if anyone enjoyed Wish, you have to enjoy Snow White. Like, they're pretty much same vibe movies. Like, it's classic Disney princess formula. I really enjoyed Wish. Like, I'm a sucker for Disney, so I'm probably the wrong person to give an objective review here. But, like, yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. Like, again, like you said, the 1.5, 1.6 on IMDb, that's just, or Rotten Tomatoes, that is just people going on. Like, who gives a bad review of restaurants? Only the people who hate the restaurant or have been sick from the restaurant. Like, no one goes in and gives, like, oh, do you know what? That was a grand restaurant. That was just nice, you know? So, yeah, big storm in a teacup. And who knows? Maybe it'll swing around and the notoriety will bring it more eyes than it would have otherwise. And yeah, it's tricky because I think this was obviously green lighted about 3 to 4 years ago, and that's when Bob Iger was coming back. When Bob Iger came back, he changed a lot of the direction of where Disney was going, so I'm not sure this movie was entirely under his stewardship. So very interesting from Disney coming up in the next few years to see what the change in either tone, or like, he came in and said, oh, we're going to get away from like messaging and whatever. So who knows the way it's going to go. We live in a crazy world. How can I protect? Sorry. So we'll move on then to spend about 10 seconds talking about the Captain America movie. I know Ashton's going to just head off for a cup of tea now. If Snow White was bad, then I think Captain America was pretty bad as well. And I am Marvel, right? That movie was reshot so much. Taylor's just showing us her Captain America's kind of a whoopee cushion, is it? That would have been handy in the movie theater. It would have provided some entertainment that the movie didn't. So there was just so much wrong with it. Like, I'm sure, I'm not going to bore everyone. Like, I'm plugged into all these YouTube channels that break down Marvel movies and all this stuff, and they all actually gave it a lot of credit. But like, spoiling Red Hulk in the trailer, kind of, come on. And then it's just so much going on in the Marvel universe right now. It was just a very kind of a meh movie, and I think they've really wasted Sam Wilson's Captain America. Like, they've really done him dirty. So yeah, do you have any more thoughts on that, Taylor? I know Ashley has no thoughts on it.
I actually went and saw it last night.
Oh, cool.
So it's fresh on the mind. Yeah, they definitely did Red Hulk a little dirty with just how much he was in the film without giving it away too much. And then, I don't know, like, overall, I thought it was a decent movie. Like, I wouldn't be going and paying to see it again by any standard. Like, I think that there's other Marvel films out there that are better. But overall, I enjoyed it, and it made me kind of want to go back and watch some of the other films that have been released over the years in order. So that's kind of the next thing that myself and Mark will be doing, is sitting down and watching them in order. But yeah, like, I mean, it was okay overall.
The funny thing is that the ending of Captain America Brave New World had a very similar ending to Snow White. If you think about it, that's giving nothing away. It's the same ending. And you know, love conquers all. So I couldn't talk about Marvel at all without mentioning the chairs. Ashton has now fallen into a complete coma here. But for those who are not initiated in this, Marvel has two massive movies coming up in the next 3 years. Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. And they are set to save potentially Marvel and potentially Disney as a company, because like, Disney was making almost $3 billion off Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, like before the pando. And then like, it's been a disaster ever since, because in Endgame, spoiler alert again, but it was the end of a lot of what was good about Marvel Universe. And last Wednesday, to sum it up, they released the list of who's going to be in the next Avengers movie, which is coming out next May, I believe, 2026. And basically, it was a 5.5-hour live stream where every 15 minutes, the camera would move from one like director's chair to the next director's chair. And the name on the back of the chair would be the next person in like the next Hollywood superstar starring in the movie. So this was a 5.5-hour live stream. It was watched by almost 300 million unique people. Not for 5.5 hours, obviously, but for, I don't know how YouTube does the stats, like for a good amount of time that they count as a watch. And it ended with Robert Downey Jr. walking back in and kind of shushing everybody. So if that doesn't show you that Marvel can be saved, then I don't know what is, because 300 million people potentially watched a 5-hour live stream, which was boring AF, of chairs. And this is like going to be like a meme going forward now. It's going to be like, remember the chairs, the chair day, you know? It was just like, this was happening in America, obviously. So it was from, I'm going to say, like 2 p.m. Irish time to 7 p.m. Irish time. So Americans were all up, like on the West Coast, they were up like before breakfast watching chairs for hours. Blew people's mind. I don't know. Did any of you watch the chairs? Ashton, no. Taylor, no. It was amazing. Like, I can't wait. One of my biggest joys in life is going to be, like, the reason I probably had kids is to sit them down when they become of age and to make them watch all the Marvel movies in the correct order and to make them wait one whole year in between Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, the same way we had to wait. That's going to be me.
That kind of happened. This is a little off topic, but that kind of happened with Pandora for me. I got to see all of them in one fell swoop, like a couple of days apart, where Mark was raging because he was like, I've waited years in between. So, yeah.
Do you mean Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar, not Pandora. I was thinking of like Pandora.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
Why not? They could have called it Pandora and had like a tie into the bracelets.
Yeah.
That would have been, that's not confusing at all, that Pandora is the, one of the biggest Disney collab brands going. Anywho, we're going to revive Aisling for a moment now and talk about upcoming trips. So does anybody have any upcoming trips booked?
I don't have any set in stone this for the rest of this year until Florida. But I do want to get over for the music festival. Maybe I'll do a day trip again, one of my over and back on one day, or maybe I'll be able to do it at night. It just depends on weddings because I'm getting into busy wedding season now. So I wouldn't like to chance being in the airport like a day before, or like being in Paris and flying home the day before a wedding just in case. So that kind of like leaves me a bit tight on space. But I am definitely going in November. I just don't have it booked yet for Christmas for maybe like one or two nights. Definitely staying over. And probably in Cheyenne because that's in one of the hotels. I want to try to tick all the hotels off the list now that I don't have an annual pass. So I have to buy tickets.
Taylor, have you been, what's the word, strong-armed into booking any new trips?
Yeah. So I was kind of contemplating Bastille Day, but it's just not looking good this year, especially because I don't hold the annual pass quite yet. But we are looking at booking later on in the year for getting over to DLP. Not sure when we're going to try to fit that in because I think we definitely are going over to Walt Disney World in September. So I'll be spending 2 weeks there and hopefully staying on site this time and doing the dining plan. So that'll be kind of new. I've only ever stayed on site once before. So, and that was like a once in a lifetime situation. I stayed at Kodani Village. It was my first ever time being at a Disney park. And it was just so magical. So hopefully we'll get to do the whole on-site thing again instead of off-site this time. So looking forward to it.
Just for listeners who are doubting Taylor's level of professionalism. So before the group trip, we have Zoom calls just to get everyone to know each other. And Taylor dialed in with video to the Zoom call from her car, leaving Walt Disney World, going to the airport. So this is another level altogether. Dedication.
Hashtag professional.
Hashtag professional. And Taylor, you're in the middle of tying down a social media handle at the moment, but where can people find you as of like Thursday, the 3rd of April? Ooh.
So as of now, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and I haven't released any YouTube, but the handle is at Tay Infinity and Beyond.
Nice. You went with it. You didn't go with Tinker Taylor, so no. Okay.
No, sure. No.
Grant. Yeah, the Brian
collapse. No, I went with that one.
The Brian collapse would be challenging with that. Yeah. So upcoming trips for myself. I have a little bit of news for the people who I think that, like, you know, some of our biggest like fans listen to this podcast, and I haven't said it on Instagram or anything yet. I won't even say it for a while. So April 12th, right, is the 33rd anniversary of Disneyland Paris's opening, and I booked it and I said, like, you know, they have to be doing something that's gonna be grand, and I expected, you know, this kind of like press conference, and that was grand. That's what happens every year. So there was, in Inside Ears, there was this kind of lottery slash selection process, and not everyone got to go to the press conference. So number one news, I'm going to the press conference. This is great. And number two news is that from the people who got selected for the press conference, I've also been invited to walk down to the lake to see World of Frozen in its current state. And it's going to be like hard hats and high vis, and, you know, it's going to be very like, calm down. I know you're both fanning yourself at the image. But, like, yeah, my mind is blown. I don't know. Like, we're actually not going to, this is kind of the other end of it. We're not going to be able to film. Have you lost me again? Oh, can you hear me? Good. It says trying to connect. I don't know. Right.
You're back, mate.
I'm going down to World of Frozen, right? With hard hats and high vis. And we're not going to be allowed fully film the whole thing. Because it's obviously, it's behind the scenes, it's behind the magic. But they're going to have some spots that are like approved to be taking pictures or whatever. So what I'm hoping that we can do, I'm going to just manifest this into the world. I'm hoping that I can actually wear a mic for the whole thing and say what I see. I think that's a good kind of compromise. And also, the day's events are from, like, you know, kind of badge pickup at 8 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. that night. Because after park closing, there's going to be a special event in Videopolis that you're not allowed to leave. Once you go to that, you're not allowed to leave. So it's very curious. I'm very blessed, honored, privileged, etc. I just help, like we all do, just help people on social media and, you know, put out our content and stuff like that. And I'm very lucky and grateful. Like, this is cool. And I can't wait to share as much as I can. I'm going to be over there like solo. So I'm going to be totally all about the content. And sharing it all with all the lovely listeners of the Irish Heroes podcast and all my lovely, I hate the word followers, but the people who look at my Instagram and Facebook, etc., and the five people who follow me on TikTok.
I would like to add that it's well deserved, and it's also about time that you're going to go to all of these things.
Thank you. Well, like it's kind of like a lottery selection process. So you don't know if you made it via lottery or you made it via selection. So who knows? But I'm very grateful. So if anyone from Disney or Insider is listening, thank you. And we will move on then to the next, something crazy before my April 11th trip is that what we've seen today, right? Today we're recording this on April 2nd, Wednesday. There is a pin event in the Dublin Disney store next Wednesday. There has been a sister event taking place today in the London Disney store, which has been chaotic, to say the least. And people have been queuing since 8, 9 a.m. to get into the store, which the event opens at 6 p.m. Like, I was going down for the vibes. I don't really care about the pins. I'm just going down to see Disney people. And I really hope we don't get... I hope it's well attended and balanced, but I hope that we don't get the same situation where people were queuing, not for miles, obviously, because that's just hyperbolic, but like people were queuing for a large down the side of the store in London. And London's obviously a bigger catchment area, you know, the UK, all roads lead to London. So it's just bigger. But now I feel that like people are going to be coming over from the UK to the Irish one because they couldn't get into the London one. So any of you guys going to the pin event in Dublin?
I definitely am. Hopefully none of my work people are listening to this. But anywho... Here nor there. I'm really looking forward to this because, like, there's not a huge, huge pin community, I feel, in Ireland, like there would be in the UK. But sure, I could be totally wrong about that, you know, going to this event. Now, like, saying that, I'm hoping that we don't have the crazy queues. I don't think Grafton Street would allow for it, really. But we'll see. I am looking forward to seeing everybody up there, though.
Ashley, come down to the smoke.
I am coming down to the big smoke. I did just want to, in case anyone's listening and big into pins, I was just going to read some of the FAQs on the website just to give a little... what's going on. So the story is, once you get in the queue, you get a token, and that will grant you access to the event and to be able to purchase the limited edition pins. And this is coming straight from the Disney website. I'm not just like making this up. There's going to be 400 of the main event pins, which, judging by London today, who knows if there's any left. They probably, I don't know if they'd be able to make more, but there's 400 of the main event pins, and that's between London and Dublin. Then there's 300 of the character design pins, which I don't know what any of these look like, but between London and Dublin again, so that's like a shared 300 pins. And then there's 150 Dublin specific pins for this event. So there'll definitely be 150 Dublin specific 90s event pins. Then the pin designer, Kenny Osinawu, will be at both events. So he'll be in Dublin signing the pins that he has designed. Again, don't know what them pins are. It does, they do have some pin trading rules. And maybe Stuart can put this like in the show notes, the link to this page. But I seen some of like, you're not allowed to trade any cast member specific pins. You know, if they're like anniversary ones or like working in the company, I'm going to guess that's like what it is. Pins from other businesses can be traded, like from ESPN, National Geographic, but that's up to the cast member. You cannot do any holiday pins, it says. I'm not sure why, but like Halloween and Christmas, it says you're not allowed to trade pins of. And I think that's pretty much it all in all. Obviously, you're not allowed to do unauthorized plastic fake pins as well. But I think it's kind of up to the cast member. It says guests may trade a maximum of 2 pins per cast member, per guest, or per trading board. Don't know how they'll do, like, the guest, like, what's the word? Like, be in control of guest trading, but that's just what it says on the website. That's kind of all, like, housekeeping, just in case anyone is interested and actually looking for information on the pins that are going to be there.
I'm just going
to... That was a good overview.
I'm just going for the vibes, people. Like,
me
I
too.
Have some, yeah. I have some pins. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I said. That's to Taylor. I'm going to buy a pin and trade it with someone, and then that'll be my pin trade.
I hope the vibe is good. I hope the vibe is good. Like, I hope it's not too fizzy, the whole thing. That like people don't go home giving out about it. Like, I'm tempted if what happened today in London. What I will do is I will set up shop across the road. Is Burger King still there? And yeah, I will just set up shop and like order a Coke or a Whopper every hour. And like people can just hang out and shoot the breeze and have the chats, the Disney chats. And we'll just go from there. And if people want to go do their pin thing, they can. And because a lot of people will be coming a long way for this event. And if they turn up and it's like, you know, S show, that's not gonna be very satisfactory, and it's nothing to, like, that's not Disney's fault, that's not the store's fault. The store actually in London, I believe the store goes is kind of like a semi-detached store, so that has a road down beside it, whereas in Dublin it's a middle of a terrace, so there's nowhere to go. Like, you're not gonna be able to queue in front of the store beside Disney or whatever way. I hope you're all visualizing this properly. But yeah, I'm hoping for good vibes. And it's really important that this event is supported. So don't be put off not going. Like, if I can guarantee you, right, if it's a mess of a thing, I will go around and, like, you know, saying hi to people and like keeping the vibes good and stuff like that, because I just want it to be a success. And Disney Ireland needs to know that it has a community and that we're all about it and that we will show up for these things. And yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be great. Like, it'll be cool, positive, you know?
Yeah.
I know that I was actually in the Disney store after the group trip, and the cast members are absolutely buzzing for this event. They're really excited, because like one of the things that would be prevalent over in like America, the shops over there, they actually pin trade in them. So like it's kind of sad that the Dublin Disney store doesn't trade like regularly. Like their cast members aren't actually allowed to like wear pin lanyards and stuff. But yeah, like I'm down. We will be bringing a massive book of pins up with us, and we are ready to do trading, even if we don't get into the shop. We'll be standing outside and just ready to trade with whoever wants to trade. So yeah, like, big thing is, don't trade fakes, guys. Please don't trade fakes.
Or else Taylor will come after you with her.
Taylor won't come after you, but people will be very sad. And there's, like, I could go on for a very long time on how to spot fakes and, you know, all of that. But just don't go buy pens off of eBay or Amazon and you'll be doing good.
Cool. Well, it's come to that time of the episode where I really hope this has actually recorded. So if anyone apart from Taylor or Aisling is listening to this, that means it has recorded. So we haven't just wasted an hour and a half, which has happened to me before. I've recorded full podcasts and they've gone in the bin because connection issues or whatever. So that is a wrap on episode 13 of Irish Ears, a Disney Fancast. Yay! You can keep up to speed with us both, I'm going to say for now, just myself at DLP Tips for Irish, Aisling at Happy Ever Aisling Socials, and our special guest, Taylor, at
Tay Infinity and Beyond.
Tay Infinity and Beyond. But for now, we'll say a biento. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.